And today we will cover 14 verses, which I will read, and you are pleased to welcome to read together in chapter 3, from verse 1 to 14. We can read it together if you have your Bibles. Right? So in verse 1, we're reading together. O foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every man that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every man, every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of your servant Paul. Lord, how he made so clear what is this great gospel of salvation, this one gospel and only one, that it is through faith in Christ, the promise of salvation. And through this faith, we also receive our position as heirs of Christ, the children of Abraham, and the promise of the Holy Spirit. Lord, may you fill us with thy Spirit. We ask all this and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As a history, at the end of the first mission journey, the last verse of Acts 14, verse 28, they arrived back at Antioch, Syria, and they stayed there for a long time, a long abode. That is the only time in the book of Acts, chronologically, where Paul had the time to make his first visit to Jerusalem 3 years after his conversion to meet Peter. And he brought along Titus, because something was brewing. The Judaizers were saying, except ye be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, ye cannot be saved. And at that meeting, Peter, Cephas, and James gave the right hand of fellowship to Paul and Barnabas that they should go to the heathen, the Gentiles, whilst Peter will go to the Jews. And they laid no charge on them that the Gentiles must keep any law except that they remember the poor. Which thing Paul was also desirous to do. And so they returned back to Antioch, and now Peter reciprocated. And when he came, he ate with the Gentiles. But when some came from James, he dissimulated and withdrew from eating together with the Gentiles. And when Paul saw this, he immediately rebuked Peter openly. And at the end of that rebuke, Paul told the hearers of his life, his former life in Judaism. You talk about circumcision, he was circumcised the 8th day. You talk about keeping the law, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. If anyone could have earned the righteousness by keeping the law, that was him. But he says that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came from or by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Right, that is the background. And now we look at verse 1 of chapter 3. And he says, and what he does is he asks 6 questions. So if you look in your Bible, you see 6 question marks, right? And these 6 questions, the first one is jarring, and then 5 are rhetorical. And all these questions are aimed at jolting them out of this stupor, this hypnotism, this bewitchment that they fell under, right? And so I've just read those verses, or we've read it together. So this first 5 verses contains 6 question marks. And the first question is, who had bewitched you? O foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you? That is the jarring one. And then the second question is, did you receive, and this is past tense, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? The fourth one, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Are you being sanctified, being perfected in this process by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? And finally, does he who supplies, present tense, the Spirit to you and works miracles, present tense, among you, do so by the works of the flesh or by the hearing with faith? These are 6 questions that Paul asks before he goes any further. And if we look at these questions, the first question, before he does that, he tells them they are foolish. Foolish, thoughtless, unintelligent, unwise. And he uses opening adjective, which he will repeat again in verse 3 of chapter 3, calling them fools, before he asks his questions. This calling them foolish is actually a very fatherly and caring rebuke. Because even the Lord Jesus, on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection, he met 2 men walking there from Jerusalem, one called Clopas, and he told them of how the law, the prophets, and the Psalms say that the Christ must suffer and all these things must be done to him. And he said to them, "Oh, foolish, oh, fools, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe," right? So in the same way, Paul is saying to the Galatians in a caring, fatherly way, "Oh, foolish Galatians." And in a different context, after the the release from prison in Rome, his last four epistles, one was to Titus, and he says, "For we ourselves were also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived," right? But we were living aside from knowing Christ. So he says, "Oh, foolish Galatians." And then he says, "Who?" And this is shocking, because when you read "who had bewitched you," you're thinking, who is the Judaizer who came in? Then he says, "Oh, it's Simeon," or it's whatever, whatever. But he uses the word "tis." It's a nominative masculine, but it's singular. So when he says who is this one key individual who bewitched you? So he's not talking about people anymore. He's not talking about a group of Judaizers anymore. He's not talking about those that came from James anymore. He's talking about one personage, and that is only Satan. Right? He's saying that, look, you wake up. These questions, you don't have to answer. It's real rhetorical questions. Who? You think about it. Who has deceived you? Where is the root of the deception? He wakes them up. You are bewitched. You are hypnotized. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been vividly portrayed, crucified. When Paul preached to them during the first mission journey, he told them of Jesus Christ crucified for our sins. And they were so glad to hear this news. They were even willing, when they saw Paul's condition, to pluck out their eyes and give it to Paul. And now they are bewitched. They've forgotten about Christ crucified by the cunning, diabolical who, this singular individual, into removing their eyes from the crucified Christ and then thinking about which law to keep, how good it will be to be circumcised, forgetting that Christ is our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1, 29-30. So this question would be the first one. It will jolt them up to realize that they're in this great spiritual warfare, this darkness that has befallen them. And then now he starts a rhetorical question. This one only thing, this one thing, this only thing, this one and only thing, you just tell me this one thing I want to learn of you. Did you receive, and this is in the past, aorist, it's completed, indicative, active. These believers received the Holy Spirit. At that point when you receive the Spirit, what was the basis? Was it because you were doing works of the law and then the Spirit came on you? Or was it by the hearing of faith when the gospel was preached to you, you received the Spirit? Just answer this one question, one and only question I want to learn of you, right? So when they had a question like that, they don't have to answer. They suddenly realize, yes, the day I got saved, it was from hearing the Word of God, hearing the gospel by faith. Not by doing works, getting myself circumcised, then I get the Spirit. No such thing. They know. They know that the new birth, ye must be born again. And Jesus says that the Spirit listeth wherever it were. It will. You hear the sound of it? Like the wind? You know not where it come from and whither it's going, right? It is sovereignly given by God. It's not of your flesh. You cannot enter again into your mother's womb to be born. It's not of the will of men, not of the will of the council. The Sanhedrin council says, "I now proclaim you born again." No, it's the work of the Lord. It's sovereign. It's when God gives us the Spirit, it's because of the hearing by faith, right? This one thing I want to learn of you. And that's why Paul says, examine yourselves in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves. See if it be that Christ dwelleth in you, that you are His. Right? It is always a profitable thing to examine ourselves and make sure that we really have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. So, Jesus, this promised Spirit, if you remember in John 16, the Lord told them, I'm going away. And they were very sad. And the Lord told them that of what will befall Him at Jerusalem. But He says, you know, be of good comfort, be of good cheer. He says, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, cannot come until the second person leaves this earth. But it is for our benefit because when the Spirit is here, He'll be with us all over the world. The Lord can only be physically at one place at a time. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you, and when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He shall show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. This Spirit of promise, this promised Holy Spirit, when ye received it, the time when you received it, were you doing works of the law to receive it? Or was it by the hearing of faith? That is the question. The third question is, are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, you are saved by the Spirit. Are ye now made perfect? Are ye now sanctified by the flesh? And being made perfected in the Greek is present, indicative, middle passive. You don't make yourself sanctified or perfect. You are being made. It's being done on you, done on us. And if it's done by yourself, by flesh, it would be an active tense, not a middle passive tense, right? Because you are doing it yourself. But are you being made perfected by flesh? It has not anything to do with you. It's the Spirit of God making you, sanctifying you, helping you to walk and more closer to the Lord. So this is again another question to jolt and awaken them. Because they were trying to achieve sanctification in the flesh. So if this was in the active tense and not middle passive tense, it would say, are you perfecting yourself in the flesh? Wow. Are you perfecting yourself in the flesh? So, you know, that jolts them up. Yes, how can I do that? So this is the heart of the Galatian heresy, teaching them that, okay, you are saved by the Spirit, but you must still keep the law and circumcision as the means of sanctification after you've begun in the Spirit. That is the difference in here versus Acts 15, right? So this happened. All these things happened after Acts 15. They went to see Peter. Peter came back. And then there's this problem. So the church at Antioch with the churches in Cilicia and Syria sent a delegation led by Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem. And the council decreed that we should not lay any more burden than four simple things on the Gentiles. And now they continued the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles, but here comes the Judaizers all the way to Galatia and said, okay, yes, we cannot dispute that you don't need the circumcision to be saved. The Jerusalem Council already said that. But Don't you want to be sanctified? Don't you want more? And people that are very earnest, that are very sincere, that really want more. They think that my spiritual life is too shallow, and they want more, and they fall for all this legalism. Right? Usually they want more, and they want more, but in the wrong way. So that is a subtle change, right? In Acts 15 again, they said, except ye be circumcised, ye cannot be saved. Here they said, okay, you began in the spirit, but let's get sanctified through works. And again, this is foolish, because the tense of that Paul used, are ye being made perfected, has nothing to do with your flesh. So again, it's a rhetorical question to wake them up. Now, the message should have gone through, and he says, have you suffered so many things in vain? You know, at the time when you received the gospel, you suffered, you endured many sufferings, just like the other Gentiles and Jewish believers. And if you remember in 1 Thessalonians 2:14, Paul wrote to them, for ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea, that's the churches around Jerusalem area, are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen in Thessalonica, right? Even as they have of their countrymen, the Jews. So in the early days, to be a believer meant something. It meant persecution and great suffering. And in Hebrews 10, Paul, some people say the writer, I tell you, Paul, suffering a great fight of afflictions, made a gazing stock by reproaches and afflictions, companions with them who were so used. So these were the sufferings that even the Galatians went through. And he says, have you suffered so many things in vain for this grace of this gospel, and then now you turn it all away and go into legalism? But he adds a word of confidence, if it be yet in vain. You know, Paul had this quiet confidence in the Galatians that they will turn around. And after these questions, I think they already 90% turn around. If it be yet in vain. So if you go back later and you read 2 Corinthians, and you'll find that the year when that was written was already in AD 56. Much longer, much later than this Galatian letter, written around AD 50. And the very first people who were given to the churches are the Galatians, right? So if you look at 1 Corinthians quickly, chapter 16, verse 1, now concerning the collection for the saints and writing to the Corinthian churches, he says, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, and so on. Give your offerings, right? Set aside. So you see that 6 years after that, they are the first churches to give. And then the Corinthians were told, you know, as I've already commanded the Galatians. So if it be yet in vain, that is that hint that Paul was confident in them, right? And then the last question is, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by faith? He therefore that ministers, my title is wrong, sorry. Sometimes that's why when you get the PowerPoint, you get the mistakes that I've made corrected. Here is the present tense. He that ministers is present tense. The Spirit and supplies or provides, right? So he that ministers to you the Spirit and works, this is present tense, miracles. So it's not that you receive. As you receive the works of miracles, as you receive the Spirit, as you experience the fullness of the Spirit, And as the Lord provides to you all these spiritual blessings, when God gives them, is God doing this because He sees you doing the works, getting circumcised, and God bless you and fill the Spirit? Or is it because you believe God? You say, Lord, help me. Strengthen me by your Spirit. And then God strengthens us. Is it by faith? Right? This is the last question. So it's a little different from question 3.2. I mean, in question 2 in verse 2 of chapter 3, where it was framed in the past tense, saying, when they received God's Spirit, was it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Here is, as God's Spirit is being enjoyed, as God ministers to you the Spirit, as God continues. In those days, there are miracles that we don't have today. But there are miracles of healings and other miracles, and none of them is because people were getting circumcised and keeping the law, but all of them is because the people were believing by faith. And our gospel is a gospel of faith, right? So having awakened them up with these six questions, he now can go into the doctrine. Now he can remind them of what the Old Testament, what the Torah itself says. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. That's us. That's us. If we are of faith, we are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles, the heathen, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And this blessing started long before the law of Moses was given. Even as Abraham believed, it's in the aorist indicative active tense, right? This is talking about something that already happened. It's punctular. It's active. It's the way he believed is active, and it's third person singular, talking about Abraham believing God. And it was reckoned, and the reckon is, of course, passive, aorist indicative passive, but it's also third person singular. It's Abraham alone was reckoned, imputed to him, not earned by works for righteousness, right? So the act of believing, the process of believing, and the righteousness being imputed are in the third person singular. It's individual, it's personal, it's not transferable. You are not saved because your parents are saved. You're not saved because your children are saved, or all of you are saved together. But you must have your personal faith in God. Your children, your parents, each one. It's a personal faith in God, right? And Paul here was quoting Genesis 15:6. This is before Ishmael was born. Paul was about 85, and he was praying. At first, he was asking God to take Elijah, his servant, as his heir. And then the next year, that year, his wife gave him Hagar, right? And at the time, God told him that it is that he will bless him. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and God counted it to Abraham for righteousness. Now, a quotation like this from Genesis, the Judaizers cannot dispute, right? This is the word of God. Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. What more do you want? Here, the Judaizers cannot dispute. Now, later on, we'll see that a confirmed covenant was given to Abraham 430 years before the law. That was when Abraham sacrificed Isaac. And the angel of the Lord declared a second time, by myself I have sworn. That is 430 years when Abraham was, when Isaac was already 30 years old. Here, it was 15 years before Isaac was born. So it's about 475 years before the law. Know ye therefore that they which are, know ye is in the present imperative active. It is imperative for you to know. You must know. We must know. It is of crucial importance. You must know. It's a commandment. You must know. Therefore, that they which are of faith are the children of Abraham. Right? This teaching is from the Lord Jesus himself. Because when he came to this town, Zacchaeus, a rich chief tax collector who was short, climbed up on a sycamore tree to see him. And Jesus went to his house for a big supper, feast, and Zacchaeus says, half of my wealth I give to the poor. If I have defrauded any man of anything, I give them fourfold, as the law says. And the Lord says, this day salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. So we that believe like Abraham are the children of Abraham. And there are other passages that I leave it to you to read for yourself from the notes, where Paul discusses the sonship of believers in Romans 18 and so on. But for Galatians, we will come to that when we come to that. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Here is a word that's only used one time in the Bible. So a lot of words in Galatians are used only one time. And this is made of two words. One is pro, means beforehand, and then to evangelize, euangelizato, to preach in the aorist indicative middle tense. So the gospel was preached to Abraham, right? In what sense? When God says, in thee shall all nations be blessed, that is the seed of the gospel and already told to Abraham beforehand. So then they which be of faith are blessed today with faithful Abraham. So to Abraham received a glimpse of the gospel long before the Lord Jesus was born, right? And to preach the gospel, to evangelize, is to declare good news, good tidings. And this word is found in various places in Matthew, Luke, and so on, Acts, and etc. Right? To preach the gospel. So Abraham received this beforehand. And we know today that if we are of faith, we are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, so they of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. At this juncture, I thought, let's just look at what Paul also says in Romans 4, 16 to 22. Paul says, to expound on this one verse, they of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Paul says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You see the picture? Abraham was given all these promises. Go, leave the land of Ur of the Chaldees. Go to a land. I will bless you. He was 75 years old, Acts in Genesis 12. And then on and on, God appeared to him, promising blessings, promising a seed, promising that in him all the nations of the world will be blessed. And he's getting older and older, from 75 to 85 to 90 to 99 to 100. And yet, if he didn't believe all the way, we don't have the gospel, we don't have the seed. So you just consider. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. What Abraham did. And how are we to believe in God? We are to learn from Abraham. We should have the faith that Abraham had, right? It's marvelous. You read it to yourself because we have limited time. But just see. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Right? So that is Abraham's faith. So they of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. But the curse of the law, for as many as are of the works of the law are under curse, kataran. For it is written, it's in the Word of God, it's a given. Cursed is everyone who does not continually do, present indicative active tense. You must continue doing and doing and doing and doing all things written in the book of the law. All things continuously, perfectly. Who can? And if you just broke one of it, curse be upon you. Turn to Deuteronomy 27 with me, verse 26. That's the fifth book, the book of remembrance, the fifth book of Moses. And if you go towards the end, 27, after he had repeated many commandments, and these specific commandments are not the only commandments of the Torah, these are just some specific commandments. And in all these commandments, like verse 16, cursed be he. Verse 17, cursed be he. Cursed be he. Okay, and so on. So when it comes to the end, the last verse is, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. Right? Any one of it would have cursed you. At the end of it, he says, if you don't do all of them, any one of them, you're cursed. Right? So, sin has shut us out. Our sinful nature has shut us out of God's kingdom. We cannot achieve it. If we could, then salvation would have come through the law. But because of the curse, none of us can keep it. And if you can't keep it to go to heaven, why keep it to try to get sanctified? But that no man is justified in the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. This is a quotation of Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. If you think that you can keep the law, if your soul is lifted up and you think by your own merit, by your own goodness, because you are somebody that is different from the rest of everybody in the world, you're not upright. Because the upright, the just, shall live by his faith. The law is not of faith, but the man who had so done these things shall live in them. Right? So if you want to get perfected, if you want to be justified by the law, wow, you must do, you're the one that has done, already completely done, aorist tense. In the past, you completely achieve all these things of the law. Then now, you will be able to say you live in them. There's one man that did it. One and only one. Our Lord Jesus. He fulfilled everything in the law. And he can now give his righteous life to us. But for us, how can anyone be saved? By keeping of the law, it's not possible. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. It's an accomplished fact, an aorist and an active tense. From the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, he took on the curse on the cross. For it's written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's in Deuteronomy 21. 23, when someone is hung on a tree, you should not leave him until sundown. Man should remove his body, because cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And that's why Christ came to die for us on the cross, to take the curse for us. Love found a way. Like the beautiful hymn says, love found a way. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Eulogia, blessing, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, might fall upon us, that we might actively receive the promise of the Spirit. And this promise was cited by Isaiah, was cited by Joel and many others. In Isaiah, I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, thy children, and my blessing upon thine offspring. In Joel, also cited by Peter on the day of Pentecost, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. True faith. True faith. That's the last two words of this verse. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through the works of the flesh. No, through faith. The Spirit is given by the hearing of faith and not the works of the law. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, your greatness, your providence, your wisdom in planning salvation for the world. Lord, when Adam sinned and disobeyed you, Lord, you had a plan to send yourself, to send your Son down to this earth so that we can be redeemed, we can be restored. What the first Adam lost, the second Adam regained. Lord, we thank you that it is by faith that we have all these riches, these promises. Lord, may you encourage all of us, Lord, to continue to look to you, strengthen our faith, increase our faith in you. Lord, help us to believe, for we are weak, we are sinful. Lord, we are lost, directionless. But Lord, thou art a great God and Savior, thou art the shepherd of our souls. Lord, may you sustain your people. Thank you for bringing us all into this Sunday school. May you watch over all of us. Lord, may you be glorified and may you accept our thanksgiving, for we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.